Our songs tonight are centered upon our relationship with God and doing His will. So if you would stand and turn to page 386, we'll sing, "Here Am I, Lord."
Lord, I give my life to You. Take control each day. I will follow anywhere, near or far away. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I will serve You faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send me.
On second.
Lord, I want Your perfect will. Be my faithful guide. I will never be afraid. You are close beside. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I will serve You faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send me.
On the last,
let me see my mission field all around each day. Fill my heart with Jesus' love. Use me, Lord, I pray. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Will serve You faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send me.
Don't close those books yet. We're not going to sing anymore, but before our men come, I want you to notice one thing here. If you look down to both songs on that, those pages, you'll notice three folks who do not have an end date. But as of today, of course, as of last week, all three of these have passed away. Frank Garlock, who's the founder of Majesty Music, of which this hymnal, that's Patch the Pirate's father-in-law, he passed away this year. His wife, Laura Jean, passed away a few years back. And then Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate there, 386. Both songs tonight are Ron Hamilton songs. He passed away, as many of you know, within the last week or two. They just had his service. Probably some of you watched that. And so some men and ladies who are very influential and good Christian music all went home to be with the Lord. Sometimes you see that in here and you don't know much about them. Some of you are familiar with them. Some of you aren't. Do you well to look that up a little bit there. You can see a little bit more about their life, their testimony. Many of you may follow Shelley Hamilton, Ron's wife. She puts a lot of things on Facebook Messenger, very open and honest about things that have happened in her life. Her dad went home to be with the Lord. Her husband went home to be with the Lord. She had a son several years ago who committed suicide due to some issues there. And so a lot of things here that you could follow along and be a blessing to you if you're not familiar with those men and their families there. All right? So certainly they served the Lord faithfully until the Lord called them home. All right, man, if you...
Thank you. All right, so you're probably going to think at first that I cheated. But there's no coincidences with God. The Lord laid on my heart several weeks ago, Psalms 119, verse 11. And then as I meditated on it and was preparing for this, and I texted Pastor yesterday and said, you know, I need the verse so I can put it on the website. And he goes, it's Psalms 119, 9 through 11. Like, you're trying to give me a heart attack here, Pastor. But it's as Pastor said, it's a well-known verse. We know Psalms 119 very well. It's probably one that we all memorized very early on. But as I thought about it, I want to consider tonight just the who, the what, the where, and the why of this short verse in the time allotted. And Pastor said he's got a red light back there, and I'm just going to follow his lead and ignore it. Well, let's start in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time that we can consider your word. Lord, we pray that you would speak through me, that you would give me the words to speak as you gave me the passage that you led me to. May it be something that we consider tonight. May it be something that we consider throughout the month of May as we memorize it. May we take it to heart. We pray in your name. Amen. So as we look at Psalms 119:11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." So the who, there's two who's in this. We think there's a speaker and there's somebody that they're speaking to. Now in many of the Psalms, they may say, as we looked at this morning, this is a Psalm of David, or it's a Psalm of so-and-so. But this Psalm doesn't seem to indicate who it is. We don't see it the first couple of verses who is speaking. So we have no real knowledge of who actually wrote this particular Psalm. We're just going to call him the psalmist. And I think that that's actually relevant as we get into this, because it's not just the Psalm of David or the Psalm of Asaph. It's any of our psalms. We don't know who wrote it. So it applies to all of us. But if we look at verse 1, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the way of the Lord." As you read those first couple verses, the psalmist is talking of the other who, the Lord. But then he switches in verse 4 to "thou hast commanded us." He goes from talking about the Lord to now he's talking to the Lord. "Thou hast commanded us." And he continues that to where we are. He said, "Thy word have I hid." It's a personal thing. This isn't "thy word has my mother hid," "thy word has my church hid." It's not "the pastor's word have I listened to." It's "thy word, God, Heavenly Father, thy word have I hid." And really, I think he's thinking back to several passages in Deuteronomy. There's probably several others. I only pulled out a couple. But there are several passages in Deuteronomy that talk about this. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Talking to the Israelites. Again in Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." So I think he's thinking back to these scriptures that he's known, that he's grown up with, and he's referencing back to those. So as we think, okay, so it's the psalmist speaking to God, okay, so what is he doing? Well, he's hiding God's word. And this is the word that really struck me as I was originally considering this passage. It's such an unusual word to say hide. Why would we hide God's word? Well, why do we hide anything? We don't want somebody to find it. Well, there's two types of things, as I thought about this, that we hide. One is we hide things that we're ashamed of. We like to sweep those under the rug. Nobody sees that. Throw it down the stairs if somebody's coming over. Pitch it in the bedroom and close that door. You know, we hide something that we're ashamed of. Clearly, I don't think that's the point here. Well, the other type of thing that we hide that which we treasure most. If we treasure something, we don't want it just flashing around. We don't leave it laying around. We put it in a safe. If it's, you know, maybe it's expensive family jewelry that's been a family heirloom for a long time, we hide that in a safe. We know where it is, and we can think on that. We can remember that it's there. But we hide it so that the thieves won't come in and take it away. We hide it so that we can bring it out at specific times, maybe to show a son or a daughter, hey, look at this heirloom. This was my mother's, my grandmother's, my grandfather's. We hide it, but we bring it out to show. This is what I believe he's doing. He's treasuring the word of God and hiding it. It says, if we back up to verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. This is treasured. He wants us to do this with his whole heart, with his whole being, to follow the Lord. So he's treasuring the word of God. But who is he hiding it from then? If you're hiding something, you're hiding it from somebody. He's hiding it from the devil. He's hiding it from him so that he can't steal it away in times of trouble. When we're grieved because we're going through a great trial or because we're struggling with some sin or because there's just a deep valley that we're going through, those are the times that we can draw that out of the safe of our heart and lean on that great promises that we've memorized, that we've taken to heart. If it's just out there, we don't really treasure it, then when those times come, we don't have it. The devil will come in. He'll bring the woes, the concerns, the worry, woe is me, as Pastor kind of said this morning. It's just me. I'm all alone. Think of, as you know, with Elijah, I'm the only one. Where was the word? Where was his scripture at that time? But if we've hidden it away, when those times come, it can be our defense. It can be our encouragement. And we can use that. So, the psalmist, and by extension, we hide God's word, but where do we hide it? We hide it in our hearts. Again, I think it's important to consider this. It's not hide it in our minds. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Again, in Proverbs 23:6-7, it says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The heart is the center of our being. It's the center of who we truly are. The heart can't be more than what you put into it. You can't hide who you are from your heart. You can hide in your mind. You can lie to yourself up there. But your heart knows who you are. If you're not hiding it in your heart, it's not a part of who you are. If it's just up here in your mind, when the trials come, it's going to go. Because it's not who you are. That's not how you've trained yourself to be with the power of the word, to respond biblically, to respond with the scriptures, to respond with joy in trials. We hide it in our hearts when it's become a part of who we really are. And then finally, why? Why do we hide it? So we, the psalmist and we hide it in our hearts that me, might not sin against thee. Excuse my bad English to English teachers. It's just like I've already kind of hinted at. It's because when it's a part of who we truly are, when we're tempted with sin, then we're reminded, no, I don't want to break this command of God because I've internalized that command. It's a part of who I am. It's not about, well, I remember it, I don't want it. No, it violates your very nature at that point because you've internalized that command. And it's something that takes us a lifetime. You know, we're never going to achieve that perfectly until heaven. But as we're reading the scriptures and as we are memorizing and internalizing different passages, it gives us the strength to overcome those things. If there's something that you're struggling with, are you searching the scriptures, or is that what you're studying? Because if you're struggling with something, you're not studying it and you're not trying to internalize that, how are you going to have the victory? You haven't hidden those commands away in your heart that you might not sin against him. This isn't just rote memorization. It ties in, apparently, with James that we've been memorizing in March and April. Be not just hearers of the word, be doers. Be doers by hiding it in your heart, making it a part of your everyday walk, obeying it not just on the outside. Well, he must be pretty good. He's an okay guy. What's the heart say? God sees the heart. Man looks on the outside, but God sees the heart. He sees who you truly are. Verse 9, again, pastors included this in our memory verse, but wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How shall he have victory over sin? And how future sin by hiding it? How shall he have victory over past sin that is troubling him now? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word, by listening to his scripture. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18, another well-known passage, gives us the armor of God. And there's a lot of different armor, but the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, it's our defense to allow us to stand firm against the attack of the devil and his demons, and our own flesh. So it's a short little passage. This has been a short devotional, but what's the point? To have the word in our hearts, we can't just be reading it. Pastor's been encouraging us all year on this. You can't just read the word. That's not enough. It's a start, but it's not going to make you a part. It's not going to make it a part of your life if you're just reading it. We need to memorize the word. Pastor's encouraging us to memorize each month. And despite what he said, maybe you've been memorizing it as we've been reading because that's the passage we're looking at. So, hey, why not? But when you've read it, you start memorizing it, are you meditating? Are you meditating? Because meditating is what will move it from here to the heart. Meditating takes it out of just the rote memorization, and you start to think about, how is this going to impact my life? How am I going to change because of this verse or verses or this passage or this application? And then we can start to live the word. We can start to be examples of the believer. We can start to have victory over our sin. We can start to have victory for the Lord. Or we can walk out of here tonight and we can hide his word in a different way. We can walk out of here tonight and we can sweep his word under the rug of our flesh and our desires and say, I don't need that. So are we going to hide it in our hearts tonight, or are we going to hide it under our flesh? Let's pray. Lord, this has been a short passage, but yet it is a powerful passage that we can consider. Lord, all of your scriptures given by inspiration, it is all profitable. Lord, I pray that you would help all of us here, myself included, to walk out of here with a renewed sense of taking your word, treasuring it. May it be that treasure into heaven, not treasures of earth that doth moth and rust us corrupt. But may we treasure your word, your commandments, and your desires, Lord. And may we take those, apply them to our lives, and have the victory that you want us to have. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
So tonight we're going to have a mid-message stretch. So please stand and turn to 368. A tender heart.
Take me now, Lord Jesus, take me. I would give my heart to thee, thy devoted servant, make me only thine to be. Savior, while my heart is tender, I would give thee every part. All my talents I surrender, I am thine, Lord.
When cast o'er me its power. In the tempests of life, on its wide heaving sea, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee, hiding in thee, hiding in thee. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict, when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often, when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul, hiding in thee, hiding in thee, my blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee.
Genesis chapter 22 to start off with. Nathan said that his heart skipped a beat when he got the memory verse. Mine skipped a beat when Pastor preached this morning because I picked out what I was going to talk about 2 weeks ago as well, and it's about the names of Jesus. So kind of goes hand in hand with what preacher talked about this morning. So God knew what he was doing. But so let's pray, and then we'll get started. Dooler, thank you for today. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to just open your word and to give, share with the congregation what you gave me. Lord, I just pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to receive what you would have us to receive. And we thank you for what you did for us on the cross. In your name we pray. Amen. When you think about names, you know, we think about the power. A lot of people think that there's power in names and things like that. But it actually is, you know, when you think about it, it's the reason why people don't name their daughter Jezebel. You know, there's power behind the name. When we picked out the names of our kids, Matthew means gift of God. So now you know, I hope you knew what that one meant too, right? So he was our first. You know, we were praying for a while for a child, and God gave us Matthew. And so he was our gift. And then came along Seth about a year and a half later. And his name means appointed. If you remember the story, Seth was the third son after Cain had killed Abel. God gave them Seth to kind of fill in that void. And so we have Seth. And then we thought we were done. And we were resigned to the fact that we have two boys, we have no girls. And okay, God, you know what you're doing? And then God surprised us with Chloe 8 years later. And Chloe's name means fertility, but it's more like, if you know the term chlorophyll, it's more like the fertility of a tree growing a flower on the end. You know, and she is the flower among the thorns in the house right now. But there's power in names. And her middle name is Grace, which means blessing. And, you know, Seth has my middle name. Matthew, he's a puller of carts, Carter. If you've ever seen him work, he's a workhorse. And you know, and so there's power in names. I believe, you know, a lot of times, that's why I think God was very specific a lot of times with sometimes when he told, I want you to name this child this. You know, there's a meaning behind it. And today, I just wanted to go through three different names of God and how they can influence us. In Genesis 22, we're going to look at verse 1. It's a very well-known story here. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they went to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And so the first name that I want to give you is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, and means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And we see here a great story about faith. It's mentioned in Hebrews, about Abraham and about how God said, I want you to take your son, your only son. I want you to take him to Mount Moriah. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me, testing Abraham to see if he had faith, that he would, if he would do what God asked him to do, if he loved God more than he loved his son. And Abraham did. He followed the instructions of God in faith, knowing that God had already told him that he was going to be blessed through his son, that he was going to have descendants like the stars in the sky, and through him all the earth, all the people of the earth will be blessed, and went and followed through with that. And as he was getting ready, in verse 11 and 12, to sacrifice his son, God sends an angel to stop him, and tells him, "Now I know that you love me more than anything, and that you'll not withhold anything from me." And as he looks up, you know, they had an offering. He was there to offer something to the Lord. And in verse 13, he looks, and there's a ram that God provided for him, and in place of his son. And he unbound his son. Could you imagine having to tie up your son, and then you know, God providing a lamb, and how happy would he felt? You know, untying his hands, unbinding his feet, and going over there to the thicket. Him and his son going to get that ram and bringing it onto the altar, tying it there in place of where his son was just laying, and then offering that as a sacrifice to God. A lot of scholars do believe that Mount Moriah was also the same, was if not the same place, close to the same place where Jesus Christ was crucified as well. And it's a picture, I believe, of the Lord providing that salvation for us. The Lord providing, a lot of people take, you know, the Lord will provide, and we talk about money for bills, and we talk about, you know, health, and we talk about all these things as well. But I think the main purpose of the Lord providing was that one day he was going to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. You know, we just had this whole week of revival services and meetings and talking about salvation and seeing people saved and the importance of it. And the Lord will provide. The Lord provided himself a lamb. The Lord provided salvation for us. And when we think about that name, Jehovah Jireh, we need to really just remember that the Lord does provide. He does provide the monetary things and things like that. But most of all, he provided salvation for us. All right, number two, go to Exodus chapter 17. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I dislike history. I never liked it. I thought that it was a boring subject for me, except for one aspect of history: the wars. And if you're a guy and you like the World War One, World War Two, Civil War, all these things. So in the Bible, I liked reading Exodus. I liked reading Judges. I liked reading you know, those action-packed books of the Bible. And this was one of my favorite stories growing up, Exodus chapter 17, and go to verse 8. Exodus 17, we're going to read verses 8 through 16. It says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will, have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The second name I want you to look at is Jehovah Nissi. So we have Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And then we have Jehovah Nissi. And this name means the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi. And it's a great story here. Amalek is fighting with the children of Israel. And Moses said, he went to Joshua's war chief, basically, and he said, I want you to go out. I want you to gather up an army. I want you to go up against Amalek. And he said, I'm going to go up, stand on top of a mountain, and I'm going to watch over there, and I'm going to have the rod of God in my hand. And the Bible says that every time that he held up that rod, that the children of Israel prevailed. Now, it's funny that I was watching a couple of things. You know, something that's really light, after holding it up for a long time, could become very, very heavy. And then that hand starts coming down. And as that hand would come down, Amalek would prevail against Israel. So two men there that were with Moses up there, Aaron and Hur, said, Moses, we got you covered. They took a big rock. They put it down. They said, you sit here. We'll hold your hands up. And one man on one hand held one hand up. One hand held the other side up. And they were able to hold that rod up till the end of the night until the battle was won. And when he created this memorial afterwards and he named it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, I really, when I first started studying this, I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, the Lord is my banner. Why would that have any importance at all? And as I started studying it, banners were very, very important. Back in wartime, banners basically were the linchpin of your formation. And it was a rallying point. It was a place where if you're in the midst of the battle, you lined up, you had all your people all lined up, the other side had them all lined up, and they kind of came together. And once the battle started, no one basically knew where anything was at, because you were just basically trying to survive. and so they would look for that banner that they knew was their standard. And so as they looked for that banner, if they didn't see it, they knew one of two things happened. Either the battle was going really bad for them and they lost, or someone dropped that banner. Hopefully it would come back up. and it was a linchpin. As a matter of fact, it was so important. If you look at medieval sources and look at the cavalry units and the infantry units, they didn't call them platoons or squadrons. They actually called them banners. That's how important it was to them. And in wartime, that banner is a standard of what gave hope to the other team. When you think about the War for Independence and our national anthem, and the whole idea of the flag standing after that battle, Fort McHenry, it gave them hope. That was their banner. And when I stopped and thought about that and think, you know, life is full of battles. And when the battles come and the hard times come, our banner should be the Lord. And we should look to him to make us, to get us through those times. And it kind of makes more sense when after studying it. So Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. And then last one, go to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 11. Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou comest again. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in the basket. He put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. The angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock. Pour out the broth, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for behold, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day. It is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites." And the last name here is Jehovah Shalom. So we have Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner, and Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. And it's a pretty interesting story here. Gideon getting called as a judge. Here he's threshing wheat. He's hiding from the Midianites. It's funny that this name, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace, actually came in a time when there was no peace for Israel. They were being attacked by the Midianites. They were basically their slaves, basically. And the Lord comes to Gideon, and there's an angel there sitting on the oak telling him that he was a mighty man of valor, and he kind of looked at him like, you kidding me? Lord's going to save us? How's he going to save us? We're in the middle of, we're being destroyed by the Midianites. There's no one here to help us. And he said, well, you're the one. You're going to be the one to lead them to victory. And he said, well, how? I'm the youngest son of the least house of Israel. He said, I'm nobody. And he said, well, give me a sign. And so he said, bring an offering here. And so he did. And the angel took his rod and put it there, and the fire consumed it. And of course, in the Bible, when the fire consumes the offering, meant that it was accepted by God. And all of a sudden, he understood that this guy that he was talking to wasn't a normal guy. He was actually an angel, because after he did that, he got disappeared. And he said, oh, I'm going to die now because I just looked at an angel, and I'm not worthy. And so he was afraid he was going to die. And of course, the Lord said, hey, listen, hold on. Peace. You're not going to die. You're going to lead this army to defeat the Midianites. And so he built an altar there. That altar he named Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. And when we think about peace, I honestly think that Jesus, when he died on the cross, if we stand before Christ without him in our hearts, we have no peace. Because one day we know that we're going to be sent to the lake of fire. The funny thing about this is when he told him, peace be unto thee, fear not, it wasn't for anything other than he thought that he was going to die because he saw an angel of the Lord. With us, we know that we could stand without fear in the sight of God if you're saved because of his righteousness. Because we know that we're not perfect, and we know that we sin, and we know that even though we do wrong and that we are full of sin because of our human bodies, that we could stand before God without fear if we're saved, knowing that Jesus Christ paid that price for us, knowing that when Jesus Christ looks in our hearts, he doesn't see the sinfulness of Jose Gonzalez. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And knowing that allows us to be able to go through life, and listen, we're not perfect, go through life and make mistakes. And not have to fear, okay, God, what's going to happen? Because are you going to strike me dead because I made a mistake? No, you know, he wants us to ask for forgiveness and go through the Bible and do better. But we could stand before God and not be afraid because we know that Jesus Christ paid that price for us and covers that sin that we have in our life so that we can stand before him a pure vessel. And so just three names that I kind of just going through now. There's a whole lot more. you could take one name of God and preach every day, every week for 2 or 3 years and not get through all the names of God and all the attributes of him. But Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. And Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for, once again, the opportunity just to share what you gave to me, Lord, be it encouragement, hearing about your name and about your attributes and about who you are, Lord. I just pray that you would help us to remember those and to use them in our life. And we thank you for what you did for us on the cross. In your name we pray. Amen.
Nathan and Jose, great truths from the Word of God. Now, what questions are we going to do about it? Say, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Make sure when you quote that, mine heart, a little different there. A lot of people say my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So you take the word of God. If someone walks up and say, hey, it's early. We got time to fellowship now. We don't have to rush home as quick. Someone comes up and says, hey, what you been reading in your Bible? Now, that's usually an easy answer. Like, oh, that's good. I'm doing the Bible schedule. I'm in Kings. And if they say, now, what are you studying? That's at a whole other level. Because then you might have to make something up. What are you studying in the Word of God? You know everything in the Bible? You have all the answers, or is there something you need to study? You could say, well, hey, well, you know, our family, we're studying the names of God. You know, mom and dad, what are you teaching your kids? When's the last time you had family devotions, family altar? Well, we don't know what to do. What are you talking about? You can do the work on the verse of the month. You can sing the song, Psalm 119:11. You can explain the scripture to your children. Your wife, your spouse, you can do it. You can teach it. You can say, let's as a family, we're going to memorize the Bible. All right, we're going to memorize the verse of the month. We can do the names of the Lord. Wow, let's, you know, instead of singing, hey, his banner over me, you know, hey, wait a minute, that's where that song came from. His banner over me is love. You know, we do that a little bit there and explain those kind of things. So excellent messages. Thank you both men for opening the Word of God tonight. I hope if God used those as an encouragement, you let them men know that. And look forward to future opportunities, not just for those men, but perhaps some others. Open the Word of God and open the Scriptures and proclaim the truth that God has laid on your heart. Okay, let's go ahead and stand.